Dr. Casieri, as we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, we're going to begin at this time lesson number 15. And lesson number 15 is entitled The Intercessory Work of Christ. And under lesson 15, we'll be looking at several points. Let's go over those as we look at our course outline for lesson 15 under the intercessory work of Christ. First, we'll have a brief introduction to our lesson under point A. Under point B, we'll look at Christ's atoning work was finished on earth. Point C, we'll look Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest. Point D, we'll look at Christ was made a priest after the Aaronic pattern. Point E, we'll see that Christ offered himself as a sacrifice on Calvary. Point F, we'll see that Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. Point G, we'll look at Christ is our advocate now. Point H, we'll see that Christ offers to be your intercessor today. And then finally, point I will be our conclusion. So let's begin now. Lesson number 15, the intercessory work of Christ. Now, someone may ask the question, is Christ idle today? What is he doing right now? Does he spend all his time preparing mansions for the redeemed? Although this is, yes, preparing mansions is one of his important tasks. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 with me, we do see as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse number 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In addition to this ministry, Jesus is actively engaged in the ministry of intercession. Look with me in the book of Hebrews for just a moment, Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, look with me if you would in verse number 25, Hebrews 7:25. The Word of God tells us, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Then also in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, we read, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. A priest is a mediator, one who intercedes with a just God on behalf of guilty sinners. Amen. And we see in Leviticus chapter 4 with me, let's turn there, as we see the priesthood, amen, under the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 4. In Leviticus chapter 4, we want to look at verses 16 through 18. Leviticus 4, 16 through 18. Leviticus 4, verses 16 through 18. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Amen. But we see that the priest bears a bloody sacrifice or a sin offering to the Lord. Amen. He is a priest as a mediator between a just God and a sinner. Amen. as we see the Levitical priesthood here interceded between God and the people here. And a bloody sacrifice is which he bore, or beard. We see here that the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, it was Job's desire was for a mediator or a daysman in his day. Look in Job chapter 9 with me. The book of Job chapter 9. In Job chapter 9, look with me in verse number 23. Job chapter 9. Actually, verse 33, excuse me. Job 9:33. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both. So we see that Job's desire was for a mediator, amen, in his day. We thank God often for Bethlehem and Calvary, and we must also thank him for his present advocacy at God's right hand on our behalf. Day by day, our high priest pleads on behalf, on our behalf, amen, to the Father God, amen. Now let's move on to point B, which is Christ's atoning work was finished on earth. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," in John 19:30. In other words, salvation is complete. There's nothing left to be done, amen. Sin was righteously dealt with at the cross. Jesus will never die again. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 9 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we want to look at verses 24 through 28. Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. And what we're going to see here, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28, shows the sin and error of Romanism's daily offering the Mass, as they call it. Romanists actually tried to reenact Calvary each time a Mass is offered. We consider this as blasphemy, for it does despite to the Holy Spirit Scriptures. Amen. Look it with me in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 24. We read, "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." We see, so Christ was once offered. Amen. So what the Romanists do, the Roman Catholics, as they have the Masses, they're repeating that sacrifice every time they offer a Mass. He did it once and for all. It doesn't have to be continually repeated. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Alrighty, let's move on to point C in our lesson on the intercessory work of Christ. Point C is Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest. First, he was taken from among men. He was taken from among men. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 1. Hebrews 5, 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." So as we're looking at how Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest, we see that he was taken from among men, according to Hebrews 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Also, he was ordained or appointed to the task. He was ordained or appointed to the task. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3, in verses 1 through 2. Hebrews 3 with me now, verses 1 to 2. And we read, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." We see that? We see that Christ, as he's called in verse 1, our apostle and high priest, who was faithful, Christ was faithful to him, to God the Father that appointed him. Amen? So we see then, as we're looking at how Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest, not only was he taken from among men, but he was also ordained or appointed to the task, as we see here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Now also we see that he was called of God to the task. Look it with me in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. We see, as we're looking at Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest, that he was called of God to the task here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." So we see that he, Christ, was called of God to the task of becoming a high priest. Also we see he served in things pertaining to God. We see he served in things pertaining to God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 17, Hebrews 2:17. "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." We see then, as we look at how Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest, he served in things pertaining to God. And also, finally, he offered gifts in sacrifices for sins. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. He offered gifts in sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 5, verse 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." We see that Jesus Christ offered himself, did he not? Jesus Christ offered himself. So let's look again quickly. Let me look at those things where Christ met the conditions of becoming a priest. We saw, number one, he was taken from among men. Number two, he was ordained or appointed to the task. Number three, he was called of God to the task. Number four, he served in things pertaining to God. And number five, he offered gifts and sacrifices for sins. Jesus Christ offered himself. Amen. All right, then, let's move on to point D in our lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. Point D is Christ was made a priest after the Aaronic pattern. On earth, Jesus acted, Jesus never acted as a priest. He never entered the Holy of Holies, but offered sacrifice before the people. Amen. Jesus publicly offered himself at Calvary. Both appeared in God's presence for the people. Both came out to bless the people. Amen. However, Adam, as a man, died. Jesus, as God, ever liveth to intercede for us. Again, we're looking at Christ was made a priest after the Aaronic pattern. On earth, Jesus never acted as a priest. He never entered the holies of holies. But we're making a comparison with the Aaronic pattern, we see both offered sacrifice before the people. That's what the Levitical priesthood did. And then we see also that Jesus publicly offered himself at Calvary. And then also both appeared in God's presence for the people, and both came out to bless the people. But we see the difference now. Aaron as a man died. However, Jesus as God ever liveth to intercede for us. And in this respect, Jesus follows the Melchizedek pattern, a priest without end. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6. Hebrews 5, verse number 6 with me. Hebrews 5, verse 6 tells us, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we see then in this respect how Jesus as God ever liveth to intercede for us. In this respect, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus follows the Melchizedek pattern, a priest without end. As we continue here in lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ, let's move on to point E. Point E is Christ offered himself as the sacrifice on Calvary. Again, point E, Christ offered himself as a sacrifice on Calvary. While we were yet sinners, the Savior died for us. He died at Jerusalem, without the gate, upon the cross of shame. Let's look at his sacrifice. First of all, as we look at his sacrifice, we see his sacrifice was, number one, voluntary, of a free will. We see his sacrifice was voluntary, of a free will. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, beginning in verses 5, and we'll read through down verse through 10. Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So we see as we look at his sacrifice was voluntary, of a free will. He offered to die for you and I. The next thing, number two, we want to see about his sacrifice was substitutionary. In other words, he died instead of me. He died instead of you. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 with me as we begin in verse 24, and we'll read down through verse 28. Hebrews 7, 24 to 28. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son, who is consecrated forevermore. We see then that his death, amen, his sacrifice was substitutionary. He died instead of me. He died instead of you. The next thing we want to see about the Lord's sacrifice, his sacrifice was spotless. It was spotless. Amen. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our Lord's sacrifice was spotless. He was without spot. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb. Amen.
the fourth thing that we want to see about our Lord's sacrifice. His sacrifice was with blood. Let's look with Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews 9, verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In other words, it was God's own blood. It was divine blood, that sacrifice. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 20 with me. Acts chapter 20 in verse number 28. Acts 20, 28. Here we have Paul addressing the elders at Ephesus, a farewell address, and he tells them in Acts chapter 20 in verse 28, Paul says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Again, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It was divine blood. That sacrifice was God's own blood that was shed for you and for me. Amen. And then we see his sacrifice, number 5, was final. In other words, there's no need for a reenactment of Calvary, praise the Lord. His sacrifice was final. Again, let's look back, go back to Hebrews chapter 7, and Hebrews 7 with me, in verse number 27. Hebrews 7, verse 27. "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." So we see then, his sacrifice was final. Again, point E, Christ offered himself as the sacrifice on Calvary. We looked at five things concerning Christ's sacrifice. We saw that his sacrifice was voluntary, of a free will, number one. We saw, number two, that Christ's sacrifice was substitutionary. Number three, we saw that his sacrifice was spotless. Number four, we saw that his sacrifice was with blood. And then five, his sacrifice was final. Amen. Again, as we continue here in our lesson number 15, the intercessory work of Christ, let's move on now to point F. Point F is Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. Again, point F, Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. In the place, of course, is in heaven, the third heaven. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 for a moment, verses 1 through 8. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and it tells of the responsibilities of the priest. Hebrews 9, 1 through 8. "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, in the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, in the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." So we see here that the responsibilities of the priest. We see the setup of the tabernacle, the holy place, the holy of holies, and only the high priest could go into the holies of holies. once a year with blood for his sins and the sins of the people. Now, we see that this is just a picture of what was to take place in heaven, of the tabernacle in heaven. And Christ is our high priest. That's what he did. He took the blood, his shed blood, and he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. Amen. In the third heaven for your sins. Amen. And unlike that high priest, he didn't have to do it for his sin because he was sinless. Amen. Let's look also in verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We see then that Christ went into a better tabernacle, the one in heaven. Amen. And he didn't go with the blood of with the goats and calves. He went with his own blood and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. Amen. And then we see that Christ is entered into heaven itself in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. In other words, he's not gone into an earthly tabernacle. No, he hasn't, as Aaron did. But are the which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Christ entered in not into an earthly tabernacle, but into the heavenly tabernacle, into heaven itself. In the present, he's in the presence of God. Amen. He now appears in the presence of God for you and for me. We also see when Peter was stoned in Acts chapter 7. Remember, he preach that scathing message to the religious crowd of his day and how they needed to repent of killing their Messiah. And then we see that they stoned him, and then he looked up into heaven. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, but he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So Stephen himself saw Jesus, saw Christ standing in the presence of God. Christ now appears in the presence of God. For whom? For his own, amen. For his own. We just read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, he now appear in the presence of God for us, amen. We also want to look at Hebrews chapter 7 again. Verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's interceding. Christ is interceding right now for those who come to God. Amen. For those to come to God. Again, in our lesson here, lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ, we see in point F, Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. The place, of course, is the third heaven. For whom does he appear? For his own. And now we see the basis. The basis of his plea is his own blood. The basis of his plea is his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So we see now the basis that he appears in the presence of God for us is the basis of his plea is his own blood. In John chapter 17, amen. In John 17, we have the Lord's Prayer. Amen. His high priestly prayer. Amen. In John to the Father. In John chapter 17 and verses 1 through 26, we have his high priestly prayer. Jesus speaks there of the finished work. And then we want to look at the actual plea. The actual plea. As we're looking point F here, amen. Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. We want to look at the actual plea now. the actual plea. For grace, what is he pleading to the Father, in other words, for us? For grace to be given to the saints in need. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 12, in verse number 9. We remember in 2 Corinthians 12 how Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed to the Lord three times for the Lord to remove it, amen. And this is how the Lord answered him in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what he's pleading for the Father is for grace to be given to the saints, as this grace was given to Paul in a time of need. Also, his plea was to the Father for strength to be given to the weak. For strength to be given to the weak. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter number 17, in verse number 11. John 17, 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Amen. Again, he's praying for strength to be given to the weak. Again, also his actual plea is that we may be kept from sin and temptation. Amen. As he pleads for us to the Father, that we may be kept from sin and temptation. Look again in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. In verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. So he's pleading right now that we may be kept from sin and temptation. He's also pleading that we shall be forgiven when we confess our sins. That we will be, he pleads to the Father, that we shall be forgiven when we confess our sins. Look at the First John. First Epistle of John with me, chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So one of his actual pleas before the Father is that we shall be forgiven when we confess our sins. Another actual plea to the Father is that we have the power to witness for Christ, that we'd have the power to witness for Christ. Over there in the book of Acts, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, in verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then another actual plea to the Father for us, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. That we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look with me in verse number 29. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as he intercedes for you, as he pleads our cause, our case, he's pleading that we be conformed to the image of Christ. We looked at several things here. Then let's just review them quickly. Of Christ's actual plea, amen, as he intercedes for us, amen, as he comes to the presence of God, as he appears in the presence of God for us. These are some actual pleas. Number one, for grace to be given to the saints in need. Number two, for strength to be given to the weak. Number three, that we may be kept from sin and temptation. Number four, that we shall be forgiven when we confess our sins. Number five, that we have power to witness for him, to witness for Christ. That we will be, number seven, that we be conformed to his image, to the image of Christ. Now, again, in point, we're in our lesson number 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. We're under point number F. Christ now appears in the presence of God for us. And we want to look at the purpose of the plea. The purpose of the plea for us, amen? Number one, to sustain life. To sustain life. Let's return to the book of Hebrews for a moment. In chapter number 9 with me. Hebrews chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we want to look at verse number 24. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, to sustain our life, amen. He appears in the presence of God for you and I, to sustain life, amen, that we can live for him, that we can live a holy, separated, and separated, sanctified life for him, amen. Also, the purpose of the plea, not only to sustain life, but to give cleansing. To give cleansing, very important. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The purpose of his plea, not only to sustain life, my dear friend, but to give cleansing, number two. Number three, to give grace in help. Again, the third purpose of his plea, to give grace in help to you and I. Going back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So the purpose of the plea, as he pleads our case to the Father, is to give grace and help in time of need, that we can boldly go to the throne room of grace. Amen. And number four, the purpose of his plea, to secure victory. To secure victory. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter number 2 with me. Hebrews 2 in verses 17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. To secure victory. Again, we looked at four things for the purpose of Christ's plea to the Father as he's in the presence of God interceding for you and I. Number one, to sustain life. Number two, to give cleansing. Number three, to give grace and help. And number four, to secure victory. Now let's move on to point G in our lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. Point G is Christ, our advocate. Now we know, number one, Satan is the accuser of the brethren at the throne of God. Satan is the accuser of the brethren at the throne of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Job for a moment. The book of Job. And we see that clearly, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren at the throne of God. In Job chapter number 1, Job chapter number 1 with me. Job 1 in verses 6 through 12. Job 1 verses 6 through 12. We read, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and saith, Doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So we see that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, is he not, at the throne room of God? To counteract the accusations of Satan, we have a lawyer at the court of heaven. Our lawyer advocate is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And praise God for that. We have a righteous, sinless advocate, a lawyer. Amen. Pleading our case, pleading our cause before God after the accuser of the brethren is gone and accused you and I. Amen. Look in 1 John with me. 1 John. In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he's our lawyer, and he's righteous, and he's holy, and he's just, and he's pleading our cause. What better? Amen. Because what better lawyer? What better advocate? Because God the Father is going to listen to Jesus. Amen. After all, it was Jesus who gave himself voluntarily and shed his precious blood, amen, so that our sins could be forgiven. So he, when the devil comes and accuses you and I, our Lord and Savior goes to the Father, and he says, not guilty, Father, not guilty. Why are we not guilty? Why are we righteous? Because of Christ's shed blood. Jesus tells the Father, I shed my precious blood for this saint of God that Satan is now accusing before you. And when God looks at you and looks at me, those that have trusted Jesus Christ, have received him as their personal Savior, he says to the devil, not guilty. Because all he sees is his sinless son's precious, sinless shed blood covering you and covering me. Amen. We see then the lawyer, the advocate himself, becomes the lawyer. The sacrifice, in other words, the sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice. The sacrifice himself becomes our advocate, becomes our lawyer. Amen. To plead our case and to plead our cause. When Satan comes and accuses you and I before the Father. When we sin, when you and I sin, he pleads for us on the ground of his finished work at Calvary. That's what he points. He says, Father, remember what I did for them at Calvary? All their sins have been paid for, have been bought, amen, for what I did for them. Remember, Father, you forsook me up there, amen? I died for them. Not guilty. As a result, the saint then receives the Father's forgiveness for the sake of the Savior. And we see that glorious promise in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Well, we have a couple of more points left here in lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. And when we return, when we meet again, we'll complete lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ and then begin lesson 16, the second coming of Christ. At this time, we've completed tape 9, side 1.